You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with the cast and crew of A Week Away. A Week Away tells the story of Will Hawkins, a troubled teen who takes a leap of faith by attending summer camp, where he finds love, friends, and a place to belong. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to writer-producer Alan Powell, music producer Adam Watts, producer and star Bailey Madison, and star Kevin Quinn, as we get to talk about the film's timeless quality, the interesting process of producing the film together, and the legacy of 90s faith-based music. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. That'd be great. Well, thank you guys. I really do appreciate it. It is a privilege to chat with you. I really am excited about it.
Thank you for caring, man. We're excited to chat about it and certainly appreciate your...
A really charming film. It's really fun. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Adam. I apologize.
I was all done. Steve.
Alan, let's start with you. Where did the idea for the project come from?
My kids at the time, I only had two. I have six now, so this is a long time in the making, but they were watching, oddly enough, High School Musical. And I don't know if I've just romanticized this memory in my head or not, but I'm almost positive I was leaving the house and they were singing along and dancing to a song that Adam wrote and produced for that movie. I remember leaving the house and getting in my car and driving to the studio. At the time, I was in a band and going, hey, there should be one of these for the faith-based space. There's never been a musical in the faith-based space. My dad was a pastor my whole life. I have a bachelor's degree in the Bible. I was in a Christian band. Like, this is the world I come from. And I grew up on these songs. And so that started the process of developing this idea and what could this be? And we like to think that certainly it has grown and expanded beyond just, you know, Christian High School Musical. There's so much more to this, but that's where it started. Like, let's create something that's fun, that's meaningful, that the whole family can watch together, and let's make it a musical, because the best thing in the world are musicals. So at least that's my opinion. So that's where we started.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. I think I watched my life play out on screen, or at least my teen years.
That's good, I think.
No. This was the good part of my teenage years. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. You know, you picked some pretty big songs from a certain era. You both sort of settled on those, remixed them. Adam, you did a great job. The music's it's fun. It's really, really great. I was wondering why you settled on these particular songs that to collect in with the new music.
Well, it's there's such a great catalog, you know. There's so many great songs to pull from if you write a classic Christian songs. But we wanted to find, and there were a lot of different songs that were chosen for different spots, and as you can imagine, a whole bunch of different versions of the scripts and choices. But ultimately, we landed on these songs because they helped tell our story. You know, we were really adamant along the way that it wouldn't feel like, oh, well, let's go over here and sing a song at this moment that didn't have anything to do with the plot or character development or whatnot, just because it's, you know, a big song. I'll give you an example. Like, Jesus Freak is one of my favorite songs in the world. And we tried for a long time to try to find it. As a matter of fact, we even have a demo of it. We just couldn't, it didn't help our story anyway. This is the story that we were telling. So we just chose songs that we felt like moved the story along. And the goal was always for people, if you knew the songs, they go, oh, I love that. I know that song. And this feels so different. But if you didn't know the songs, to feel like they were so organically tied to the story that they were written, you know, for our movie. And then Adam did such a great job reimagining them and making them feel current and new and certainly specific to the style of our movie, that we like to think there's a seamless, you know, thing going on between A Week Away and these songs.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I liked about it is that it didn't really feel forced. You know, a lot, you know, when you're trying to fit in a certain catalog, it can really feel like you're trying to hem. Oh, I really wanted to get that song in and force it and jam it in there, but it sort of flows naturally. Yeah, it works. And Adam, I was wondering what is it that you wanted to bring apart or bring through the music in this particular film?
For me, like, it was really about, and I remember our first meeting, you know, Alan and Gabe came to my studio and started talking about the story and and even why, you know, they wanted to meet with me about it. And Alan and I had met through Saddleback Church, I think, or because of Saddleback Church in Orange County. It's Rick Warren's church. We had met and spent, I think, you know, a few minutes talking at one point through a mutual friend 10 years before. And he came and he said, you know, I've been a fan of your solo work for years, and also, you know, aware of your career outside, you know, as a behind the scenes guy, as a producer and songwriter, and all the work you did at Disney, which is, you know, sort of just a portion of what I've done. But, you know, I was a writer there for 10 years. And so for me, the fact that he was coming to me kind of in this dual purpose way, like, hey, you know, I appreciate your work as an artist, but also outside of that, your work in film and particularly musicals, and the fact, and bringing those two things together, like, it's what he wanted for this film, like a certain level of artistry and kind of the difference between my work in Disney films and my solo work is, there's a pretty large gap between the two. And, you know, my stuff tends to be extremely introspective, a little dark, melancholic, and the Disney stuff is pretty much the opposite. So I think he liked that tension, and that speaks to, I think, who Alan is. There's a lot of depth in that in Alan, and there's depth in the script, but it's also really fun. And I love the idea of bringing those two things together. And I was adamant about, like, it was almost like I was fighting, like, well, I'm not even hired yet, but you can fire me if you don't want to make this music really timeless and organic. And I don't want to be a part of something that's going to be just totally cheesy and have no heart, you know. It was weird. I tend to do that sometimes, but Alan can probably speak to that. But it was really just passion, you know, and I think what probably would have been an hour meeting ended up being a 5-hour first meeting where we went and got food, and it was clear that we had hit it off. So they were on the same page.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's exciting. You know, one of the things I noticed about the film is that it really does almost have a timeless quality to it. Like, you know, I was trying to describe it to a friend of mine, and they said, well, is it set in the 90s? I'm like, no, it isn't. Wow. But it, you know, there's a lot of, you know, nostalgia, and of course Ferris Bueller is embedded into the script, and the John Hughes references and stuff like that. And I was wondering for you both, like, why was that important to you to have that quality?
Well, I think that's something, it's one of the great things about setting it at camp, truthfully. Mm-hmm. There's a nostalgic feel that's built into the experience of going to camp. You know, even if we went right now, you know, you kind of put your phones away. Like when I went to camp, most of us didn't have phones, but nonetheless, if you go now, that's part of it. Like literally, like they take them from you, and like, we're just going to be here with these people. And there's something about disconnecting from the outside world and just creating, you know, your own world there that we wanted to capture. And we didn't make it super, like, I think there were versions of the story where there's like a whole scene where they take their phones away and stuff, but we were just like, I don't think we need that. Like, we'll just build that into what's happening. And everybody's a bit, this is your whole world during this week, which is why ultimately one of the reasons it's called A Week Away, because that's what it is. You know, and why David calls the camp what he calls the camp. And so I think built into that, it just makes us feel a bit like we're going back in a time machine. But also I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I think a lot of that's in the music. And I know Adam was just talking about it, but he did come into this going, listen, I don't want this to be stylistically, I don't want us to like chase what's on top 40 radio or chase what's going on right in the moment. Because if you fast forward 2 years after it comes out, you'll be able to pinpoint exactly when it came out and why the music sounded that way. Like, want to chase something that is influenced by a bunch of different genres, but has its own sound. And at the end of the day, feels timeless. And I think along with timelessness, specifically within music, it gives you a feeling of vintage and nostalgia. And so I think everything was just kind of working together in that way, but really led by the music stylistically.
I mean, to the point where when I was invited out to, you know, actually go on to the location and walk around for a day or two. Hi, Bailey.
Hi. Hey.
Go around and walk the set. And I had my iPhone out and I was recording stomps and claps in all of the spaces that we were shooting in so that I could actually use those sounds in the music we're creating, to give it a sense of space. You know, there's got to be claps, there's got to be stomps. I'm not just going to pull them from some random library of stomps and claps. It's like, here I am. So we're walking around, and it's like me and Alan and Roman and Gabe and Steve and everybody, and I'm like, hey, can you guys all clap? 1, 2, 3 And so a lot of those claps are what you hear in these songs, which is, anywhere we could do that, we would, to infuse it with some sort of sense of reality and organic kind of timelessness and sense of space.
That's really cool.
Hey, and just for the sake of time, I know Bailey and Kevin have joined us. Please meet Stephen Norton, who's in warm Canada right now, as you can tell. So, Steve, if you have some questions for them, it's probably a good time before we have to jump to the next one.
Sure. Sure. I got a couple. You know, thinking about this actually with the music, to Bailey and Kevin, these songs, they're probably from before you were born. A lot of them, not the new ones, but the ones from that. I was wondering how you connected with this, with this sort of nostalgic feel and the classic, more classic songs.
Bailey, you want to take?
It's always the Zoom pause. I never want to cut off. And it's like, sometimes Kevin will be like, Bailey, and I'll be like, Kevin, we just don't know. Yeah, well, for me, I actually grew up listening to so many of these artists. I'm the youngest of a bunch of siblings, and they are all, you know, 13 years older than me. So, so I grew up listening to, you know, Amy Grant and Stephen Curtis Chapman. And obviously was then at the age where For King and Country was one of my personal favorites. And I loved what they were doing. So for me, it was, I wasn't a stranger to how much they are loved and respected, and how these songs are so respected. So I might not have been around when, you know, they hit the world, and I maybe wasn't able to experience that initial feeling, but, I had grown up with that feeling. And for me, I think I was really excited to get to do my first musical with songs that mean so much to so many people, but then also have the opportunity to reimagine them and to have the privilege to sing those songs in hopes of touching even more hearts than that music has already, you know, done, because it's introducing it to a new generation. So felt very honored and humbled, and obviously was in the most wonderful hands with our music team, and just felt so very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, I actually was a stranger to these songs. So in the same way that we're going to be the voices on the track that are reintroducing these songs to an entirely new generation of kids younger than us, I was recently introduced to these too. They are older songs than I've been alive. So, but I know how popular they are and how respected they are. They're CCM hits. And if anything, I just hope that we did those songs justice. And to get Stephen and Amy to sign off on them and get their nod of approval was a blessing.
Yeah, you did a great job with them, and with all the music, honestly. In fact, the two of you, I thought, had great chemistry on screen as a couple, but just working together and with the cast. I was wondering, did you know each other before the film, or was this all brought together from the experience?
We had met briefly, I think, in like 2015 or 2016. We had a mutual friend, and I was working on a set, and then Bailey came to that set. And so that was the first time I had ever met her. And I don't think I saw you after that, Bailey. But we were on the same flight heading to Nashville, and that gave us an opportunity to reconnect. We're like, oh, I guess we're doing this thing together. What are the odds that you and I, you know, 5 years ago had this this brief meeting, and here we are filming a movie together. Yeah. It felt serendipitous for sure.
Really. Oh, sorry, Bailey, you were good.
No, I was just saying, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. We met each other years prior, but I think got to re-meet each other as young adults. And I think we were, you know, for different but the same reasons, both so excited to tackle this script and these characters. So in terms of chemistry, which, you know, I think makes Kevin and all of us so happy that people are able to feel connected to these two characters. It was a joy to get to trust each other with that process.
For all of you here, I'm hearing that I'd love to hear your voice on the production process, because from what I'm hearing is it was sounded like you tried to really build almost like that camp atmosphere for the 21 day shoot. And what was that experience like?
It was great to be able to, you know, with a musical, and it's obvious, but I think it's also an easy thing to forget. all the music has to be figured out and recorded before you start shooting. So the songs need to be written and all of that. So it's a really cool process to be able to have that be somewhat of a emotional blueprint along with the script and everything else that goes into pre-production. But we really dove in with like, okay, this is going to, we want this to feel real. We want it to feel timeless. The production process, well, there's an interesting beginning, which was, you know, I was hired and all right, I'm going to dive in. I start doing some work and sending some things. I brought in a buddy of mine, Corey Clark, great musician, songwriter. And we started working on some things and sending them to Alan. And Alan was, you know, in firmly in his producer, film producer chair. And I was in my executive music producer and producer songwriter chair, sending him things. And when I got my first set of notes back, it was clear to me, I was like, Alan, I'm going to make this soundtrack twice if we do it. And so I said, man, you got to be here. Do you want to be here? And it was like, I already knew the answer. So there he was. We made this thing, you know, shoulder to shoulder. I think if it had been done the other way, I would have called it micromanaging. But in this way, I called it collaborating. So it brought the whole thing into a better context. And I think the results really show for it. And there's a lot of Alan in the music.
Yeah, we were very grateful. We touched down to Nashville. We had 4 weeks of dance rehearsals and the recording straight off the bat. You know what I mean? So I think in terms of that connecting that you feel when you watch these characters, I mean, there was no better way to connect than throwing, you know, us into a room and spending 16 hours a day with each other, all pretty much trying to achieve the same thing, which I think is really cool. It stripped away anything that we had maybe already known going into it. And instead we were all struggling to learn the moves, or one of us was trying to hit a note and the other person was encouraging them. So it set a very kind of collaborative and supportive experience between all of us that I think once filming started, we had a very wonderful idea of who we were as human beings. So we could lean on that throughout the whole filming process.
It was cool.
Hey guys, I don't mean to cut you off. We've got to jump to the next one. Steve, what I'd like to do, if you have additional questions, send it to me and we may be able to get some more time. We're on a tight schedule here today.
Sorry, so sorry.
No worries, guys. No worries. Steve, you're great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Sorry.
No problem.